name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All the faithful of Israel waited for the Messiah whom the prophets had spoken. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied of the Messiah to come, saying, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." More acutely, with more eager expectation, I imagine these 10 lepers hoped for the coming of the Messiah. Their disease, a terrible disease, a contagious disease, brought them great suffering as their flesh slowly died and rotted away while they yet still lived, although it would inevitably claim their lives. It also brought with it separation from the community of Israel. They were outcasts from the temple and the synagogue, outcast from the city walls and the market, outcast from their own homes and their own families, physically and ritually unclean, alone out on the city road, reliant on the generosity of passers-by to give them food and whatever they needed to survive the cold nights out in the wilderness along the road. Their one solace, that they would be safe from the brigands, because even evil and desperate men who kill and steal wouldn't dare to get near them. And then came word. Message reached their ears, the rumors that a miracle had occurred, and then another, and another, until a flood of stories from up north in Galilee made their way down the road that they haunted, made their way down to the holy city of Jerusalem in the south, where they could not go. The eyes of the blind opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leaping from their mats, the tongues of the mute singing praises to God. Those among those lepers who had paid attention in Sunday school and catechism class must have, with growing excitement, told their fellows, "Do you not remember the prophecy, the one spoken by Isaiah? God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped." And what's the name? What's the name that is spoken with every new rumor and account of a miracle? What's the name of the man who frees men from sin's curse on the body? What's the name that makes the demonic powers cower and scream? It's Jesus. Jesus, which means God saves. Perhaps at least one among them asked with a little skepticism, could God really be that on the nose? That the Messiah who fulfills Isaiah's prophecy, God will come and save you, is named God Saves? But another, again remembering catechism class, says, doesn't Abraham, whose name means the father of many nations, was not he the father of many nations? And Moses, who was drawn from the river, mean drawn out of water? And Jacob, who supplanted his brother Esau by taking his birthright, mean supplanter? Does not the divine name that the Lord God himself, who was and is and whoever shall be, who does not change, does not the divine name revealed to Moses at the burning bush mean I am who I am? It seems that God, Lord of heaven and earth, who is the author of all history, has a thing for on-the-nose names. What else would the Messiah be named besides Jesus? Then the best news that they had heard so far reached their ears. Jesus is on the move, and he's headed down to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he's coming down this very road through the village nearby. There, they might have said, the one with the crowd following behind him, it must be him. With hope mixed with desperation, the 10 lepers cry out from a distance. They can't get too close. They're not allowed. And it's not easy for a leper to raise his voice, especially if the disease has progressed far along its course. But with all their strength, they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, when Christ heals during his earthly ministry, yes, he does it out of mercy for those who are standing before him. And yes, he cares for our bodily needs. But the healing is never an end in and of itself. For Christ came to do far more than to give us temporary relief from our physical ailments. He is named Jesus because he saves his people from their sins, the evangelist Matthew tells us. He came to deliver us from our inner sickness, namely sin and the judgment that comes along with it, and not to give us temporary healing, but eternal life. Which is why the New Testament often refers to Jesus' miracles as signs, because they are pointing beyond themselves to something else, to Christ's power over sin and death and all the dark powers of the world, and to spiritual truths that are reflected in the body. When he gives sight to the physically blind, he shows us how by the Spirit and the Word he will open the eyes of the spiritually blind so that they might see God. When he unstops the ears of the deaf, he shows us how he opens the hearts of those who have closed themselves off in rebellion against God, how he opens the ears of those who hear and yet do not hear, so they might hear the voice of the shepherd calling their name. When he makes the lame walk, he shows how he guides us and empowers us to walk the path of the Lord, and how he directs our feet in the way of peace. When he opens the mouth of the mute, we see an image of how he awakens our hearts and mouths to sing praises unto God. And here he heals 10 lepers. The lepers give us a ghastly and graphic depiction of the state of man infected by the sickness of sin. Leprosy leaves no part of the body untouched, spreading, infecting, and destroying the whole disposition of the body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, as sin totally destroys the strength of body and soul, leaving no part of us untouched. Nothing healthy, nothing wholesome in our whole person. It spreads from one member of the body to another, just as sin in the flesh begets sin, weakening and corrupting the powers of man until he is utterly useless and dies. Leprosy makes one hideous to behold and an offense to the eyes, as our sin does before the light of God. And it is a contagious disease, quickly spreading from one infected to all who are in contact with them, just as sin quickly spreads from one person to another. Leprosy coats the tongue and makes one hoarse, weakening the voice, as the man who falls into sin without repentance cannot proclaim God's glory and beneficence. Once it has taken hold, it inexorably eats the whole person. It makes you an outcast, separated from the community of man, just as sin separates us from the kingdom of God, and sows division and separates us from our neighbors. To be cured, all your flesh must be completely and totally renewed. The hope of these 10 lepers, even though our disease is far worse than their ailment in the flesh, is the same as our hope. The man Jesus, God who comes to save his people from their sins. Jesus comes to the 10 on his way to Jerusalem, his final trip to the holy city of God, where he goes to sanctify it, giving of his life and with the shedding of his own precious blood. He goes to Jerusalem and to cross so that he can give to us the cure, not just for the leprosy of the body, but for the leprosy of the soul. His blood shed on Calvary's cross, his blood poured out on us in holy baptism, giving us the new birth of water and the Spirit, so that we are born again and completely renewed, cleansed of the stain of sin. His blood poured into our lips in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. We cry, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We, poor sinners, implore you. And Jesus answers, I have had mercy, dear child. You are forgiven. You have been cleansed. Now you who are blind see the love of God for you in my cross. You who are deaf hear my voice calling you by name. You who are lame, get up and walk, follow me. You who are mute, sing praises to God, for you have been redeemed. Jesus sends the ten, saying, go and show yourselves to the priests. Because the Old Testament law, according to the Old Testament law, if you are cleansed of leprosy, you are to go to the temple and be declared so, declared clean by the priests. Now 9 of the 10 went, but one, a Samaritan, instead returned to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Why? Is he disobedient to the word of Jesus, his Lord and ours? No. He, the Samaritan, realized what we who have also been cleansed realize by faith. That Jesus himself is the temple in whom God graciously dwells for his people. That he himself is the high priest who offers the sacrifice for sin. That it is he alone who has the power to declare us clean. It is he and he alone who gives us entrance into the kingdom of God. And so let us give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, whose name God saves, confesses who he is and what he does. Let our voices praise him aloud, and let us rejoice. For he says to us, your faith has made you well, for you believed in me, the great physician of the soul. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory.